Welcome to Kunkel & Associates Employee Benefits Podcast. Our podcasts are dedicated to helping executives, HR teams, and business owners navigate the intricacies involved in offering employee benefit programs.
If you're looking for an easy-to-understand source of information covering a variety of employee benefits topics, you've come to the right place. Let's get started with today's topic.
Welcome to Kunkel & Associates Employee Benefits Podcast. We're here today with Lauren Ozenick, Partner Development Manager from Teladoc. My name is Deanna Miller, and I will be the host today. Telemedicine is capturing a lot of attention among employers and employees as a way to manage medical costs. Technology has influenced the growth of telemedicine in recent years, as it has gone beyond a simple call to inquire about symptoms to now video conferences one-on-one with a provider. Today, I will be talking to Lauren about Teladoc and their effort to reduce healthcare costs through telemedicine services available to employers and employees. Lauren, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thank you so much.
So before we get into this topic, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience at Teladoc?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I appreciate the intro. So my name's Lauren. I work with Teladoc on their partner development team, which means I really just communicate with brokers and firms about our spectrum of services and what Teladoc has to offer. And then currently, you know, Teladoc, if you're not aware, is the largest telemedicine provider in the country. So we span through all 50 states and offer telemedicine, you know, on a lot of different sort of levels or capacities to groups two lives and up.
Okay, wonderful. So Lauren, telemedicine I know has been around for quite a few years, but with advances in communication technologies and focus on cost-effective care have helped reshape this approach to healthcare delivery. In your opinion, how has telemedicine advanced in accessibility and cost throughout the years?
Well, great question. So in the past, I would say decade or so, telemedicine has really sort of, you know, found its niche in healthcare, and I think will progress even further. I think what attributes to that, you know, one is more commonly used cell phones or mobile phones. You know, maybe a decade ago, you know, it was not super common for everyone to have a cell phone on them 24/7, let alone have apps on their smartphones. So the addition of apps for almost every single company available, you know, has also increased the utilization or the accessibility to telemedicine. I know myself, you know, I have most of my banking apps on my smartphone right now, versus, you know, years ago when you'd actually go into a bank or go online on the website. So just having mobile phones on you, the adoption of having applications on your smartphone to use different services has really increased the accessibility to telemedicine. I always liken it to the concept as well that, you know, about a decade ago, people would say, you know, don't get in a car with strangers, and now people use Uber every single day. So it's just been a really kind of big change in this industry of, you know, immediate access to services, maybe with physicians, you know, that aren't necessarily your PCPs. So I think, you know, just the way technology has advanced really has demanded that healthcare sort of follow suit with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree. You know, the accessibility to phones is very high nowadays. I mean, and especially, it starts at such an early age. A lot of kids start very young having cell phones, so they have access to apps, access to different tools that they can use throughout their phone. So that definitely has changed the healthcare environment. Now, can you comment on any trends in the overutilization of healthcare services among members? So, in addition, do you have any statistics on utilization and how telemedicine has helped reduce usage of these services?
Sure. So, there are a few trends that, you know, I've noticed that do and have resulted in overutilization of certain healthcare services. So, you know, think sort of how you know, PCPs, in my opinion, are just not as readily used, meaning that, you know, myself included, I don't necessarily have a regular PCP. You know, a lot of people, I think, in the last couple generations don't necessarily have like a family doctor they go to regularly. You know, they can't call up their family doctor and say, hey, I have a UTI or an ear infection. Can I come in this evening or can I see you first thing tomorrow? It's you know, just not, you know, the standard procedure as much anymore. And with that, it's resulted in, you know, members or employees, you know, utilizing or overutilizing urgent cares or ERs, right? Because if they don't have a primary care physician that they can get into for things that are what we consider acute illnesses, so ear infections or UTIs, you know, their next best option is an urgent care or maybe an ER. About 50% of the consultations that we have coming in are between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. So, you know, those are standard ER times. You know, it's rare even that an urgent care is open at that time. So, you know, implementing telemedicine can help sort of curb that overutilization of the ER for things that really are not life-threatening, you know, like UTIs or pink eye or things like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I can attest of learning how, you know, for specific situations, specific symptoms, you know, when can you go to the emergency room? When is it not as urgent? And you can actually go to urgent care, set up an appointment with acute care, and telemedicine, you know, can definitely make a big impact in educating employees and members on that. So that we are actually utilizing the right resources at the right time. Lauren, what trends do you see driving the interest in telemedicine among employers and employees?
Sure, yeah, great question, actually. Telemedicine, you know, has become much more appealing to employers and employees for quite a few reasons. Employers seem to be seeking out a telemedicine option, you know, for a couple reasons. One, it, you know, immediately is going to decrease their absenteeism, right? Because you're getting someone care as quickly as possible. You know, you're getting them maybe an antibiotic without them having to take a half day at urgent care, or, you know, you're getting their child access to a medication without them having to spend the morning going to an urgent care or the ER for something like that. We've seen a large sort of uptick in employers hearing about telemedicine and just coming direct and asking about it. You know, what is this? Can I implement this type of thing? Really, because it's simply very appealing. You know, telemedicine is one of those sort of shiny new objects that an employer can implement that, frankly, a lot of the employees still to this day probably have never heard of. I've actually presented at open enrollment meetings just on the telemedicine portion of their coverage, and I kid you not, had like applause afterward, which is, you know, personally unheard of in an open enrollment meeting. But it's just because it's so convenient, and you sit there and you listen to how it works, and it's like, you know, where has this been my whole life? What a no-brainer. This is so, you know, exciting to have access to something as simple as this. And I think it really, for employers, is something that richens their benefit package and really kind of may keep employees satisfied with what the group is offering. That's specifically what, you know, I've seen from employers. The employees, you know, they are obviously, you know, interested in telemedicine because simply of the convenience factor. You know, you can use it for the whole family. You can use it for yourself. You know, it shortens maybe an hour-long visit to about a 10-minute phone call, which for a lot of people can really just affect their entire day. And a lot of the options out there, frankly, the employees are paying very little or nothing out of pocket. So, you know, you're avoiding maybe a potential copay that you may have on your plan and getting the same access to care. So it's really, frankly, you know, the first time I used it, I was just shocked and almost excited. You know, it's like this weight is lifted off your shoulders that if I do get sick, you know, my vacation's not ruined or Christmas won't be spent at the ER, you know, for pink eye. So it's really, I'd say the ease and the, you know, lack of out-of-pocket costs are really what are appealing to employees.
Definitely. We talked about accessibility, you know, and how the fact that everybody has phones nowadays really makes things more accessible. Well, this is a great way for employees to get engaged and utilize an app, for example, and as you mentioned, you know, reduce the amount of time they're spending taking care of an illness or something that just popped up for them or their spouses or children. So definitely agree that the interest in telemedicine because of that accessibility and convenient factor has rose in the last few years. Now, specifically talk about telemedicine and the services that are included. Can you give me an overview of some of the services provided via telemedicine?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is kind of a fun question for me because, you know, a couple years ago, the answer to this question was much shorter and concise than it is now. You know, previously, telemedicine was really like a virtual urgent care. You know, that's what it was sort of started and developed as, where you call up for cold and flu and ear infections and things like that, right? Urgent care concerns. Today, telemedicine can really provide assistance and cover an entire spectrum of healthcare needs. So we've still got those urgent care, general med concerns, which obviously are sort of our bread and butter. You know, you call up for anything non-life-threatening and get a consultation or get your antibiotic or allergy meds, obviously over the phone. What is now often available and more readily requested are things like maybe behavioral health support, where you can set up an ongoing relationship with a psychiatrist, psychologist, or a therapist, you know, and avoid having to maybe see someone in person if that's inconvenient for you or the hours don't work or it's too expensive. That's been a huge, appeal to a lot of people is the behavioral health option. You know, now telemedicine also has access to specialists. So again, you know, if you don't have a dermatologist in your small rural town, you can use telemedicine to get maybe a dermatologist or a pediatrician, you know, or some other sort of specialist on the phone to help you with, you know, your concerns or your ailments, and get that specialist care. And even farther on the sort of critical side of things, you can now use telemedicine to initiate second opinions. So you can, you know, get on the phone, have an intake call about maybe a recent cancer diagnosis or diabetes diagnosis or a surgery recommendation and say, you know, I want a second opinion on this or I'd like someone to re-review the case. I want to discuss my treatment options, you know, and get much more in-depth with more critical conditions, more costly concerns, and access all of that over the phone, which is really where telemedicine has stepped in the last couple years. So, you know, as you can see, it literally covers this full spectrum of healthcare options over the phone these days, which is just so, you know, for me, very cool to see available.
I agree. I think that is awesome. You know, the fact that it's becoming an all-encompassing go-to resource for members is great, and it's able to answer questions in so many different areas of health. I think that's wonderful. A common conception of telemedicine is that it is used by members on a reactive basis. For example, when somebody has a cold or when children are spiking a fever. But we know now telemedicine can also be used in a proactive manner. So you gave us some of the services in the prior question, but can you provide me with some examples of proactive situations that you have witnessed?
Yeah, sure. I do think sort of at, you know, telemedicine's nature, it really has, like you said, been very reactive. You know, we've always said, you know, I don't want to take the place of your primary care physician, and we don't want to step in and sort of eliminate that relationship. But, you know, with that said, telemedicine can be used in a very proactive way and manner. And I think that department really has a lot of room for growth and advancement. I know telemedicine services that, for example, will put together your medical records. So like an e-health summary where you can get online and say, you know, can you put together or get on the phone and ask them to summarize your health records? And they'll actually, you know, retrieve your medical records, any x-rays or scans that you've done in the past, you know, and put them into to literally a jump drive and mail that to you so that you've got everything on hand, you know, in case something does happen, you've got that available to you. I personally have never even seen all my health records. So, you know, things like that, just kind of being able to have these added services, you know, really can help with the proactive space. That in addition to things like, you know, maybe dermatology, you know, if you have any sneaking suspicion that something may not be right, but you're not sure and you just want to double check, you know, should I get this looked at? Should I go, you know, see someone about this? You know, really what telemedicine does is it gives you access to ask those questions before it becomes an urgent, you know, go in and this is, you know, needs to be taken care of today. You know, if you're just kind of curious or you want to get a little peace of mind and just speak to a professional and get their opinion, that's where telemedicine can also fit in. You know, it gives you that access. It gives you that availability without you having to schedule something 3 or 4 weeks out, pay a pricey copay, travel to and from the office, and all that. So, you know, again, I think there's tons of room for advancement in the proactive space for telemedicine, which, again, will be exciting to see sort of where that heads in the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we have talked about convenience, you know, as one of the trends that pushing employers and employees to use the telemedicine resource. Cost saving is an approach, too, that many employers and members can appreciate. But for most, going to the doctor is kind of complicated. So what are some of the benefits employers and members can experience by utilizing telemedicine?
Great question. So you're right. Going to the doctor is complicated. I completely agree, and it's not always very fun. So telemedicine, you know, provides, you know, sort of a caveat for a lot of those complications or inconveniences with seeing someone in person. You know, for employees, again, it's that access to care that's so simple and so quick. You know, the fact that if someone wakes up at 4 a.m. screaming, you know, one of your little children, you don't have to take a family field trip to the ER. You can literally take one child in another room, make a phone call, and find your resolution with that physician. You know, that right there can completely change the course of your next day. Also, telemedicine travels with you. So, you know, anywhere you are in the U.S., you know, any state you're in, and currently some telemedicine options are also international. So if you travel the country or the world, excuse me, you can use it just about anywhere. You know, so that's a huge sort of, you know, convenience factor that you literally have a doctor that travels with you. A lot of employees also really benefit from being able to save you know, money and keep it in their pocket, frankly. A lot of the options that that I offer clients are typically a zero copay if it's applicable. So they're not paying anything per use. Their family members are not paying anything per use. So it's really just saving people time and money, keeping their healthcare dollars in their pockets for other concerns, and making it just much more easy to handle things that are, again, not emergencies. For employers, you know, again, it's that absenteeism discussion where they want to, you know, keep people at work when they can be at work and eliminate, you know, extended hours at urgent cares and things of that nature. One thing a lot of employers too really benefit from and you know, love the implementation of telemedicine is that when you use telemedicine, you're not generating a claim on the back end. So, you know, you're not generating a hefty ER claim and sending that back to your carrier to pay the, you know, 80 or 70% of the remaining. So at the end of the year, you know, if you have a client that's got some good utilization of their telemedicine coverage, you know, if they're self-funded and they hit 25 or 30% utilization, that's 25 or 30% of their potential claims that simply don't exist. So they could actually affect, you know, their bottom line at the end of the year where, you know, maybe their premiums are adjusted or something of that nature. You know, you're really eliminating these unnecessary ER costs by using telemedicine. So, you know, I truly see it as a win-win across the board.
Agreed, Lauren. There are definitely plenty of benefits for both employers and members that they can experience by using telemedicine. So we talked about, you know, really the experience, the types of services available at the point that the member needs it. Now let's shift our focus a little bit to prior to that moment or that episode happening. So with regards to awareness and participation, how do you communicate the process and the benefits of telemedicine to members so that they are more aware and, you know, participate in the actual service being provided to them?
Well, great. This is a part of telemedicine that I think has generated a lot of focus in the last couple of years, because what we're realizing is you have to instill a bit of a behavior change, and the only way you're going to do that is by engaging the employees, not just once at open enrollment, but throughout the year, what I like to call a surround sound engagement. So, you know, this could mean anything from hosting a webinar, you know, maybe once a quarter as a reminder. It could mean, you know, maybe quarterly email blast to the employees. It could mean maybe sort of a pre-launch strategy where we mention it once or twice to the employees via email or whatever works best for them. And then once we get started, you know, once they become effective, we run like a registration drive. That's something that I do often, where we incentivize the employees to all register their accounts or download the app and in a certain time frame, and then pick a winner, you know, and mail them a gift card or something of that nature. You know, something just to, you know, get them engaged off the bat. That first quarter of having telemedicine implemented is really key to sort of remind the employees maybe two or three or even four times that they have the service, not just once, you know, again, at open enrollment and then disappear. For groups that are not maybe as tech savvy, maybe a webinar does not work. You know, maybe email campaigns are not how they communicate at all. And we understand that. So other options would be to mail out flyers or posters or magnets or, you know, sort of collateral like trinkets, you know, that apply to the client. I had one case where our client success team got as creative as designing reflective hard hat stickers for a railroad repair company, right? So they had them put all of the stickers on the hard hat, you know, just to get creative, or air fresheners for a trucking company, you know, that have our logo on it and they say $0 copay, call this phone number if you're sick. Just something very simple. Something that's in front of the employees on a remotely regular basis to remind and engage them throughout the course of the year. So that's really, you know, a lot of the techniques that I use. And I think it really comes down to having a discussion with the client and the broker, you know, before they get started, and assessing the best forms of engagement for that client, you know, because it's really not a one-size-fits-all model. Some groups communicate in one way and some work a very different way. So you want to assess that, and then you want to accommodate that for the entire duration of the relationship, not just, again, that maybe once or twice throughout the year.
Very cool. I love the fact that you actually take the time to sit down and have a good strategy in place based on what fits that specific employer, because as you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of different industries that can make use of this service, but the most effective ways to communicate within a medical industry may be very different from a transportation industry or others in between. So I love the fact that you really take the time to craft a strategy that's going to be successful to get that awareness and participation out there. You mentioned a variety of communication methods available. In your opinion, I know that you are crafting different ones depending on the industry, but in your opinion, which ones do you consider to be the most utilized and most efficient?
So this is kind of funny for me because I think, you know, what comes to my mind are two methods that I find most efficient or most utilized, and they're on complete opposite sides of the spectrum. One would be a webinar. If we can get the employees all in a room and sit them down for a 10, maybe 15-minute webinar, they will be successful. It's really the most, you know, kind of bang for your buck approach to getting them all in a room, maybe having them pull out their phone, walking them through literally just 10 minutes. Here's how this works. Here's what you can use it for. Let's register yourself on your app right now and get you going. And it's engaging. You know, I like to keep them relatively short so that people don't start drifting off. And really just go over sort of the bare bones of telemedicine and their plan and how it works. So webinars, you know, I always push to get even just a brief webinar. You know, if the client has a monthly safety meeting or a quarterly staff meeting, you know, 5 to 10 minutes in that, and that will truly set your group off for a great, great start. The other second thing that, believe it or not, gets requested the absolute most are magnets, believe it or not. Groups, you know, that are absolutely not tech savvy, maybe they work in multiple remote locations, maybe, you know, they don't email their employees ever, maybe they have employees sort of out in the field, if you will. Mailing magnets to the home address of the employees sort of gets the message home. You put that on the fridge at home, maybe anyone that's home with the children or the rest of the family now sees that, you know, alert or that magnet saying, you know, here's a phone number. If you're sick, call this for free. That really tends to work on groups that are the opposite side of the spectrum. So those that are not so tech savvy. I think that's really a good way to get the message to the rest of the family members without having to just hope that an email will get through. Because often, like you said, that's just not a good fit. So yeah, between webinars and magnets, believe it or not, I think we get a lot of productive utilization from those two methods.
That's a pretty interesting contrast, but I see your point. I see how they can definitely fit, you know, specific demographics at the same time. So very interesting. That makes sense. When selecting a partner for telemedicine services, you know, try to remain unbiased. What factors should employers look for in making a decision?
No, absolutely. And I will be very unbiased because I get asked this a lot. And I'm not someone that is going to, you know, shove my product down your throat. I want people to truly make the best decision. And I am not maybe going to be it 100% of the time. So I always tell, you know, clients or employers or even brokers to keep this in mind when you are looking for, you know, a telemedicine service to fit your needs. First and foremost, I recommend looking into the size and scope of the doctor network that they're utilizing. So to me, if you don't have enough doctors, you are not going to be providing a good service. Meaning if you have a small network, you don't have any specialists, you don't have, you know, registered doctors, maybe you only have nurses, you're just not going to satisfy the needs of the people that are calling up. You may have extended wait times, you may not have someone available for up to 24 hours, and then what's the point, you know, of telemedicine? You're not even getting them the resolution. You want to make sure you have enough doctors that are on video capabilities so that when those calls do come in and they want to video chat, that you can provide that quickly. You really just want to make sure that you are staffed accordingly, you know, and especially for those times of the year where you are going to get a high volume of calls. So we're talking December, January, when cold and flu are in full effect. We probably get about 30% of our calls in those 2 months. So, wow. You know, you want to be able to accommodate that. That's really first and foremost what I would recommend looking into. You know, I also always like to suggest, you know, if you do have any interest in any sort of added lines of service, meaning behavioral health specialists like dermatologists, a second opinion service, find a plan that has those options. you know, so that you can customize something for your clients. Maybe 6 or 9 months from now, you know, behavioral health will be of interest for them, and you don't want to have to cancel the plan with the carrier or the vendor they're with and move to another one that also has behavioral health. So make sure you start with a vendor that has, you know, a couple different options and a couple customizable features. Also, I would recommend looking for a vendor that offers assistance in engagement, not someone that's going to give you a really, really low PEPM and hand you that flyer at open enrollment and disappear. You know, work with someone that's going to work with you. Work with a vendor that is going to understand, like we said previously, that it's not a one-size-fits-all. You know, that they're going to be there to support you with the flyers or the magnets or co-branded materials or hosting webinars. Make sure that you've got that assistance, because you don't want all that responsibility to fall on the HR department or on you as a broker. You know, to do all that sort of extra engagement, because frankly, you're not a telemedicine expert necessarily, and the vendor should be. And the last thing that I always recommend, just double checking when you're looking at vendors and you're getting quotes and comparing prices, is always double check on what's called the utilization cap. So a lot of people have not even heard of that. That means, you know, most vendors, they put a threshold on the utilization that you can use the service before you see a rate increase. So a lot of vendors that I've seen, they start you maybe with a 20 or 30% utilization cap, meaning at your first year renewal, if you have a group that really took advantage and they used the heck out of it and they love the service and they pass that 20 or 30% cap, they may see up to a 50% increase in their rates next year, and that is such a kind of a blow to the morale. You know, all of a sudden your rates go up significantly, and, you know, you're kind of left thinking like, well, you know, I thought I was supposed to use this. I thought that was the point. So make sure that you do work with a vendor that starts you with a high utilization cap or something that it's high enough that you think will fit the needs of the client. Something substantial, make sure it's priced to allow the client to use it without having to hesitate, you know, to use it. So those would be a few of the things that I would recommend sort of checking off your list as you are looking through vendors and narrowing down what's going to fit best for your client.
Thanks, Lauren. These are really great points. I mean, there's definitely, you know, as you mentioned, the doctor network. I think a lot of people are aware of making sure that there's enough resources that are going to be available when somebody calls in. But the engagement assistance and the utilization cap are really valuable points that I believe are going to be eye-openers for our listeners. We talked about the doctor network a little bit on the factors that employers should look for in making a decision. So, as we talk about the doctor network, can you provide us with some insight as to where physicians are located and what accreditation process do they undergo when they become approved by Teladoc?
Yeah, absolutely. So Teladoc, you know, we put clinical quality literally as high as it can possibly be on our scope of concerns. With that, we have doctors currently available in all 50 states, meaning we actually have doctors living in all 50 states currently that are able and willing to answer phone calls. Legally, you cannot prescribe across state borders unless you're licensed in that state, and that's why we make sure that we are appropriately staffed in all 50 states currently, because we can service all 50 states. So that is something we try and maintain on a constant basis. And again, make sure that we accommodate and staff appropriately for those months that are going to have higher demand, so those winter months. Make sure that we can sort of, you know, move with the influx of calls that come in. Teladoc, we specifically actually put our physicians through what's called an NCQA certification program. We're the only telemedicine program that does that. And what that is, NCQA, actually is about, I believe they have close to 100 proprietary evidence-based clinical practice guidelines that are adapted specifically for telemedicine. So that means, you know, when someone opts to work with us, we actually put them through a training specific to telemedicine, not just to medicine and make sure that they don't have any malpractice suits. We actually train them on, you know, answering these calls thoroughly, making sure that, you know, you don't make the patient feel like you have a waiting room full of other people to see. You know, make sure that they understand we want them to take time with the patient and explain to them why they are not getting an antibiotic or they are getting an antibiotic. And so they're very clear. You know, we don't want people to get off the phone and second guess, you know, their consultation. So that NCQA is a pretty thorough and frankly rigorous review process. And it consists of both on and off-site reviews of the physicians that we do employ. So that is sort of the first step that we put them through to be able to even sort of contract with us and work with us. And then obviously there's other trainings that they go through as far as the actual technological and operational side of things, you know, how to use the video and all of that to actually be considered a physician that works with us. And then we do also review charts after the fact. So, you know, once you become approved to work with us, we don't just assume that, you know, it's all said and done and wish you well. We actually do review physicians' reports and consultations for the life of the relationship with us. You know, we want to make sure that the patients are satisfied and their bedside manner is appropriate and just, you know, maintain, again, that high quality of care.
I love the approach that you take, you know, prior to a physician being available through through Teladoc, you know, with the clinical quality, with the certification, NCQA certification, but then you also take the approach after the fact to make sure that the members can continue to be assured they have access to top quality physicians through your program. I think that's very important, both from an employer standpoint as well as an employee standpoint. Now, let's talk about data. Data is a very big buzzword in our industry. And from a reporting perspective, can you tell me what Teladoc makes available to employers regarding utilization of your services, and how can this data be incorporated into the success of an employee benefit program?
Yeah, of course. And you're right. Data is everything, right? That's the day and age that we live in. So we do, you know, obtain a lot of data from our calls on an ongoing basis, and our reporting is available to clients and their brokers on a constant basis. So we generate monthly utilization reports where we retrieve the previous month's data, put it into your utilization report, and at any time during the course of the month or the year, the client themselves, like an admin or HR, or the broker, if they request it, can log online and view the utilization report. They can view that month only or sort of a year-to-date format. The reports that we have available, they currently show the number of calls that have come in, the actual consultations that we've had, and they break them up between primary or spouse independence. So we get a feel, you know, if you see a lot of spouse independent calls that, hey, the information has disseminated through the family, and that's great. That means everyone's aware that they can use it. We show the number of registrations as well, so we can make sure that the primaries and spouse independents have registered their accounts. And if we see maybe halfway through the year they've got low registrations, we'll run a registration app drive or some sort of incentive to get people to register their accounts to remind them. The reports also show the top five prescriptions that have been prescribed and the top five most common illnesses that have been called in for, just to give you some perspective of what we're dealing with. On groups under 50 lives, we don't show that, actually, because it's such a small group. You know, you could almost narrow it down, and that violates HIPAA. So over 50 lives, we show those common medications and common illnesses that your group is experiencing. And then, obviously, we calculate the utilization. So the number of consultations divided by the number of employees that you've got on the group. We'll show you sort of what you're utilizing at that current moment and then your projected utilization for the year to date. Just to give you some perspective, you know, of kind of what you're looking at for the year and how you started off and, you know, how busy or how much the service has been used. We also show you the average response time. So again, we want to be extremely transparent. We want our clients to feel confident in our services. So we show, you know, over the course of X amount of months, your average response time was 8 minutes, or maybe it was 4 minutes, or maybe it was 15 minutes because you had quite a few video consultation requests. And those usually take a little bit longer, maybe 15, 20 minutes to get someone on the phone. But again, we want to be transparent and give you that, that data. We also, on our utilization reports, calculate an ROI estimate. So we use a third-party veracity study that at this point has covered about 1.8 million claims, bundled them together and averaged them out, and they produce an estimate of about $517 redirection per consultation. I've seen a couple other third-party studies done for this same sort of ROI estimate. They've all ended up somewhere between about $450 and up to $700. Obviously, it varies on the demographic. The one veracity study that we used was nationally done. So we feel pretty confident with that $517 redirection. But using that number, we calculate the ROI that your group has generated based on the number of consultations they've had thus far this year. So we put all that onto a really, you know, shiny looking one-page report, and you can pull that at any time during the course of the year and pull any of your old records to compare, for yourself and your broker.
That's wonderful, Lauren. I think that a lot of CEOs and CFOs, you know, definitely will pay attention to the data and how that can translate into bottom line impact within their benefits program. I love the transparency that you have available through your reporting and the different data elements that you are using to provide some good insight as to the success and the impact of the telemedicine program into each employer. So very valuable and very helpful. Lauren, this conversation has been super insightful. How can listeners access your information?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I agree, and I appreciate the opportunity to jump on here with you. My information, again, I work at Teladoc. You're more than welcome to, you can call or email me. I manage, you know, a pretty large territory for Teladoc, and again, I'm here for any sort of communication or education. My direct line, my phone number would be 530-230-8281. Or you're more than welcome, of course, to shoot me an email at L-O-Z as in zebra, A-N as in Nancy, I-C-H, at teledoc.com. And those will both get straight to me. And again, I'm happy to assist.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Lauren, for participating in our podcast today. It's so refreshing to see that telemedicine is one area that has remained more affordable in lieu of rising healthcare costs. It really can provide opportunities for actual cost savings in the form of fewer office visits, reduced missed work time, and healthier populations. So thanks again for being here today.
Oh, you're so very welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to Employee Benefits Podcast. Continue to check our website for upcoming podcasts to make sure you don't miss out on any episodes. Until next time.